And then continuing on into the book of Romans in the New Testament, we're in the 8th chapter, beginning with the first verse and going through the 11th verse. Let us now listen for the word of the Lord. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That is why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body may die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you have given us your Spirit that lives within us. Thank you that that Spirit can flow from us and illuminate these words which have been read, that it can illuminate the sermon that is to be heard today, that can illuminate our very lives, showing us where it is that we are to go. Thank you that that Spirit gives us life, gives us hope, gives us courage to go out into the world and do all things for your honor and glory. So inspire us this morning. Teach us what you would have us to do, and show us the path in which we are to follow. All this we lift up in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we all say, amen. We're going to have a little bit of a science lesson this morning. You see, I have in front of me an empty Ziploc bag, right? All right, I'm not going to ask, it's not a magic trick, so I don't need anybody to come up and inspect it and make sure that it's truly empty. But I'm going to show you something because, see, it is an empty bag, but I am going to fill it with something, and I'm going to make it full. Think I can do that? I'm going to try. I haven't tested this, so if it goes horribly wrong, please forgive me. I'm new here. All right. So now I have filled it, right? It looks full. And actually, you can see that the condensation in my breath has condensated out on the sides of the bag. I don't have a defroster or a defogger in there, so the bag has gone a little cloudy. But if you look in there, I can still see you through this bag. And you can still see me, hopefully, right? So I have filled this bag with something, right? I filled it with my breath. Now, you would think that filling a bag with your breath is not going to do anything, but this actually does serve a lot of very valuable purposes. I tell you, if you've ever camped and you have a Ziploc bag, and you know how to do it, you can fill it with your air and it turns into a pillow. Actually, a lot of firefighters carry something that looks very similar to this in their fire trucks, because if they need to lift a car off of you, they don't put a jack, they put an airbag underneath it, and they can lift up. How many of you ever, now I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'll put my hand up, I've locked my keys in my car. And when they come out, they don't use Slim Jims anymore. They slide a little airbag in the door to make it, you know, make it wide enough to where they can reach down in there with their little gizmo and hit the unlock button. So that air does a lot of really cool stuff. You have airbags in your car, right? So you hope you never have to use them, but if you have to and they were to suddenly inflate, they will stop you or hopefully prevent you from making a bad situation even worse. How many of you have seen airplanes? I mean, we live in Florida. You see airplanes every day, right? I mean, I think we're number two in the nation for the number of pilots per capita of any state in the nation. And there is always something flying in the state of Florida. And you look up there, you really can't see what keeps those airplanes in the air, right? You just know that, that they fly through, and it's because, I can go in the whole Bernoulli's equation where the air going over the top of the wing takes longer than it does for the air to go underneath the wing, and therefore creates a low pressure. Nature abhors a vacuum, and that causes the airplane to rise. All right, there will be a test after the sermon today. But also, too, when I fill a bag full of air, I can squeeze this bag, and it made noise, right? Yep, and I didn't expect for it to squeal like a pig. I was kind of hoping that it would go pop. But, that's the beauty of science. If it doesn't work one time, you do it again until you get the results you want, kind of the thing. But also, too, when you hear my voice, when I speak, my voice goes into this microphone, into those speakers. The diaphragms in the speakers vibrate the air. That vibrates the air in the sanctuary, and that ends up vibrating your eardrum so you can hear what I am saying. You see how much air plays in? You can't see it. And I haven't even talked about air conditioning, because I guarantee you, if these air conditioners weren't pushing cold air into the sanctuary, after a while, you would definitely feel that. You can feel hot air. But air, when we can't see it, it still does a lot of really amazing and wonderful things. And in this scripture passage for today, Paul is talking to the church in Rome about the Spirit of God. Now you might say, man, pastor, okay, I don't get it. You talked about air, and now you're talking about spirit. The Greek word for spirit in this passage is pneuma, or pneumatos, which we get our modern word, which we know as pneumatics. What a pneumatic, pneumatics is, right? Pneumatics is anything, any system that operates off of air. Your tires on your car are pneumatic because they have air inside of them. When you go to fill them up, you use an air compressor that goes to a hose. That's a pneumatic system. So from this Greek word for spirit, we get our word for pneumatics. Now, if you think that that's a little crazy, that we kind of maybe have jumped the gun here, if you go back to the Old Testament and the Genesis, the creation story, the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. You cannot say that word without exhaling a lot of air. It is a pneumatic word. You have to say it. You can't say ruach. That's not it. It's ruach. That you have to kind of open up your mouth and just breathe out that at the end. And some translations use it as the breath of God. Some translations use it as the Spirit of God. But there is a definite tie between the Spirit of God and the breath of God. And so when I think about the Holy Spirit, I think about that is the breath of God that is breathed into us. And think about this. How many of you have ever thought about what it would be like to not be able to breathe? I mean, I've had that drowning experience. I've been in an altitude chamber where they took the oxygen away. I had all the air in the world. It just didn't have what I needed in order to keep my brain functioning. And needless to say, well, I didn't do what I needed to do. I'm thankful that somebody came over and flipped that switch and started giving my brain oxygen. So that breath is important. We should see it just the same way. We should see the Spirit of God as important to us as the breath that we breathe. Because the flesh that we have cannot be supported unless we breathe. Think about that for a second. If you can't breathe in and allow that air to go into your lungs and to be transformed and put the oxygen into your blood, your body's not going to function very long. I would want to say it's probably a space of just a couple of minutes that your body can survive without breathing before you would die. So when I read this passage about Paul, from Paul, and he's talking to the church in Rome, and he's telling them about the role of the Spirit of God in our lives, I think about the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, being just as important to me as the very ere I breathe, that I cannot do anything, that this body cannot do anything. And think about it. I cannot preach without air coming into my lungs and going out of my lungs, vibrating my vocal cords, going into the microphone, through the speakers, and into your ears. Isn't that awesome? And Paul is instructing the church. He's basically telling them that the old, your flesh tried to obey the law and it couldn't. Your flesh is the sinful nature of you, but now you have this spirit living within you that allows you to be free, that allows you to do all good things. And he encourages them, don't live by the flesh, but live by the spirit. Follow what the spirit leads you to do. Follow where the Spirit shows you to go. Don't give in to your fleshy desires, because that way is the way of death. Wow. And then he reminds them that the reason that they have this Spirit, the reason that they have the Holy Spirit in their lives and they're able to do all of this, is because Christ Jesus came and he fulfilled the law that they could not fulfill. And through God's Spirit, he was raised from the dead, and he reminds them that just as God raised his Son from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that Holy Spirit breathes life into you when you believe. Wow. You know, I could keep going on and on and on, but I think there's a very simple message here. A very simple nugget for us to take away from us, that when we approach our faith, we should sometimes ask ourselves the question, is this our flesh that's causing us to do this? Or is this the Spirit of God living within us that's causing us to do it? Are we doing this just because our flesh says that we need to go do this? Or are we doing this because the Spirit of God says that we need to go do this? An easy way to think about it is that if you come to church every Sunday just because you feel like you have to come to church every Sunday, that's your flesh. If you come to church every Sunday because you know that you will be filled and recharged and you will be able to enter into the presence of God and to worship with your brothers and sisters and to grow and to be inspired and to go forward and do all good things for God's glory, that's the Spirit. If you're sitting in worship and you're going, okay, Pastor, I really wish you would end this sermon because I really want to go to lunch. Hunger comes from the flesh. But if you're sitting in here in any sermon, not just mine, but anytime you come to a worship service and you are inspired to go out the doors of the sanctuary and do good things for God's glory, that is the Spirit working within you. And sometimes we try to let our flesh overcome the spirit of other people. How many times has somebody come to you and they said, man, God really put it on my heart to go do this? And then our response is, bless your heart. We should say, man, the Spirit of God is doing great things. Let's go do it. Let's go do it. How many times have you had those things in your life where you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden something clicks? You know, that's the Holy Spirit right there. Or if you're talking to somebody and somebody's talking to you and you realize in that conversation that God is just awesome and he's loving on both of you, man, that's the Spirit. You've been in the presence of other believers and you just know with beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you and God loves them. That's not your flesh. That's the Spirit. When you see awesome things happen in your life, that is the Spirit. There's that whole passage about, you know, the wind blows and we don't know where it comes from or where it goes to. That's a good test of what the Spirit is. Because if you don't know where that's coming from or where it is going, but you know that it's good, whatever it is, you can say that's probably the Holy Spirit working in this situation. And I've seen it a lot. We should be focused on that. Paul is telling the church to focus on what the Spirit does, that to be more be focused on living in the Spirit, not living in the flesh, to want to be followers of Christ and to depend on that Holy Spirit to instruct them and to guide them. Because without the Holy Spirit, Scripture means nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, my words fall short. Without the Holy Spirit, our ministry does not bear fruit. Without the Holy Spirit, we do not live into this glorious life that Christ told us we would have when we believed. Do you see it? Can you see that when you come to a faith and belief in Jesus Christ, that He fills you with a Spirit, that Spirit puts breath into your body, allows you to go out and live for God and to live into what He called you to do. And Paul keeps reminding. I can almost imagine him sitting there, and although this was a letter that was delivered to the church, Paul, this wasn't a sermon that Paul preached, but I can imagine Paul preaching on this and basically reminding them over and 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 over again that it's the Spirit that enables you to do this, and you should be focused on the Spirit. You should be aligning yourself with what the Holy Spirit is showing you to do. You should be dependent on the Spirit, just as dependent you as you are on your very next breath. You should be constantly wanting to fill yourself with the Holy Spirit and to use, allow the Holy Spirit to use you to go out into the world and do all good things. Am I making my point this morning? You can tell I'm a little excited about this, because as I was reading that scripture, I'm like, you know, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Sometimes we get so focused on the fleshy side of serving God that we forget to focus on the spiritual side of serving God. We get so focused on what we think we need to have for our own comfort that we forget that we're supposed to be using the Spirit to guide us. And the Spirit is going to guide us where the Holy Spirit is going to take us. And sometimes we may not think that that's where we need to be going. But guess what? I think we probably should say, you know, if that's where you want me to go, God, I'm going. Flesh, take a back seat today. I'm going to do what God has told me to do, because I've seen it. You've shared it with me. Others have shared it with me. I love those moments when somebody comes to me and they say, the Spirit of God inspired me to go do this. And I'm like, hallelujah, amen. It's not my job to stand in the way. It's my job to say, let's go. I'm not going to stop the Spirit. I'm going to encourage it. We should all be doing that. Because Paul tells us, he puts the emphasis really right on the right syllable at the end of this passage. And you should think about this. If you don't get anything from today, I want you to get this very simple fact. That until you came to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were dead. You were just a flesh-covered body breathing air. That's not my words. That's Paul's words. But then he says, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, because God, and he didn't get into this. He really flipped it around. He said, God raised Christ from the dead. God's Spirit raised Christ from the dead. Christ came to fulfill that law that we try to fulfill with our earthly fleshy bodies. But God, through Christ Jesus, did that. Raised Him from the dead by His Spirit. And guess what? You now have that Spirit, and that Spirit breathes life into you. Wow. It gives me hope every day. To know that when I wake up, I know I am breathing the air in the atmosphere of this planet that our God created. But I am also filled with the Spirit of God. God has filled me with His Holy Spirit to go out and do all good things. And I know that this breath that He puts into my body, that He allows me to breathe, is not just to keep this fleshy body going. He puts breath into my lungs so that when it comes out of those lungs, it can vibrate my vocal cords and proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ loves everybody just as much as He loves me. And I'm going to tell you how and why. And I will proclaim it from the rooftops, to borrow from a song earlier today, for all the days that I have. So my encouragement to every one of you this morning, brothers and sisters, is that every day that God wakes you up and fills you with breath, know that that breath comes with the Holy Spirit. Use the Holy Spirit. Depend on the Holy Spirit in your life to breathe out and to proclaim the good news. And everything that you say and do and think and act and how you live your life, to proclaim the good news in every possible way so that everybody out there will come to believe. I titled this sermon Pneumatic Energy, because I'm a firm believer that the pneuma, the pneumatos, the spirit that lives within us, gives us energy to do all that when our flesh says we can't go another mile. Lean on that. Depend on that. And know that that is true because that's what's in God's word. So when you go out there, you should be full of all kinds of energy, right? To go out and get to work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn is number 591, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Let us rise and sing.